Operation Sex Change. Sex Change Operation.
Cassette.
Girl. Women often ask if it's possible to have younger looking skin. The simple answer is no.
Have kissed me and got me so excited, and when you asked me out I really was delighted. So we went to a pub in Belsize Park and we cheered on England as the sky grew dark. Oh, you shouldn't have kissed me, 'cause you started a fire. But then I found out that you're a serial liar. You lied about your status, you lied about your life. You never mentioned your three children and the fact you have a wife. Now it's England 2, Colombia 0. I don't know just how those Colombians feel. If you hadn't passed out while I was talking to your friend, it could have really ended badly, 'cause you very nearly had me. If he hadn't taken pity on my heart full of desire, I might never have found out you're a serial liar. You lied about your status, you lied about your life. You forgot you have three children, you forgot you have a wife. Now it's England 2, Colombia 0. And I know just how those Colombians feel. It is not in my nature to ever pick the winning team. Sometimes I think I'm happy, then I remember it's a dream. No, it isn't in my nature to ever pick a winner. Possess the object of my desire, 'cause he's bound to turn out to be a serial liar. Okay, I didn't mention my kids, I thought I'd wait a bit. But I am free and single and he's a lying git, 'cause he lied about his status, he lied about his life. He forgot he had three children, he forgot he had a wife. And it's England too, Colombia nil. I know just how those sobbed all the way home, called my friend up in Sao Paulo and cried down the phone. I played some tragic music and I lay down to die. But later I awoke and I hadn't stopped crying. You should never have kissed me, you tasted of deceit. Your perfume was adultery, but I'm not a piece of meat. So I'll be the one that you couldn't acquire. I found out in time, you're a serial liar. You lied about your status, you lied about your life. And I pity your three children and I pity your poor wife. Now you can go to hell. I'm going to Brazil. Still it's England too. Colombia.
Thank you.
I got a teeny weeny baby, she's built so fine.
Welcome to High Waisted Modernists with DJ Georgie Girl, the blue-haired hippie. Sit back, relax, unwind. Let the library music and spoken word ambiance wash all your cares away. Simple soup. This is a fall soup, a special for someone you specially want to please. Tomatoes are cheap in the fall, and it is not really a very expensive soup, but it is almost obscenely luxurious. A smooth, soft, gentle, fattening, rich thing, which makes a very pleasant light supper, particularly by the fire and with, if you can find it, a bottle of that Portuguese green wine very cold. The important thing is not to boil it, or it will curdle. Gentle all the way through, gentle in the butter in slivers, stirring all the time, and gentle in the cream, stirring all the time. It should be a pleasant, soft sensation, and once you have started adding things, keep the heat soft and gentle. If you let it boil, it will curdle, so be nice to it, and get a sieve. For many of these recipes, the only things you will need are a saucepan and an iron frying pan. But a sieve is useful, and a wooden spoon makes you feel good. Thank you. Rainy day chicken livers. This is a rainy day dish that I always cook for two and finish up eating with four. It needs a bottle of wine, something pretty earthy, such as Gamsa or Bardolino, and a loaf of fresh bread, real bread, the kind that doesn't come wrapped in plastic. Also, it is cheap and quick. Put the potatoes on to boil. Start them in cold water with salt and mint. Chop the onion. Cut up the other vegetables into something like 1-inch pieces. Slice the mushrooms. But before you start, you have about 15 minutes to sit back and drink some of the vermouth. Or the sherry. Or the wine. I use vermouth because I like it, but friends use brandy or sherry. Anything with a wine flavour will do. The important word is gentle. Turn things over. Don't keep dabbing at them with the fork. Just turn them over. Cook for about 6 minutes, then add the cream. Bring the heat back up, but don't boil it. Serve it on rice or potatoes with peas. Mop up the sauce that's left with bread. Finish the wine. Sit back and burp. Sand cakes. These are a Saturday or Sunday indulgence when you have time enough for one of you to stay in bed while the other sits and reads the paper. There is nothing to the cooking of the pancakes. You just cook one side till there are bubbles on the top, turn it over and cook the other side, and eat them with hot maple syrup and butter. They will keep warm wrapped in a cloth in a low oven until you get enough, or if you happen to have your bed in the kitchen, you can just eat them as they come. There are people who spend Saturday night on an air mattress on the kitchen floor just to be there in the morning, but that is close to addiction, which until a local chapter of Pancakes Anonymous is formed, should be avoided. But there are other aspects of these pancakes which should be noted. The first one up makes tea, peels an orange, gets the morning paper down off the roof, and delivers these three things, preferably with a flower and a candle, to the bedside. He then puts on the coffee while he makes the pancake mixture. Feeds the cat, avoids last night's dishes, and, this is a secret, sprinkles dry coffee on the stove burner so that the whole apartment begins to smell like coffee should taste. Now, the first one you will have to try just to see if it is good enough for your mate. It will be. And perhaps that you will think was an accident and you should try the next one. So you mix another batch and finally deliver them smiling together with the maple syrup. And butter, and hot coffee, and of course yourself, a portable radio, and a couple of spare cushions. The greatest pleasure comes in not answering the phone or the doorbell. Van. When the autumn leaves start to fall, chickens are cheap. Not the little skinny mini-skirted spring chickens, but the tough old heavies who just can't make it anymore in the egg parlours. They call them Grade B, and they sell for about 25 cents a pound. While you are shopping, pick up a half pound of small onions, really small ones, little round pretty ones, and about a quarter pound of meaty back bacon. If you're short of money, bacon ends and cut off the fat, and a bottle of half-decent Burgundy. The better the wine, the better the dish. Don't, unless you are a confirmed masochist, use Canadian wine for cooking. And get a bunch of parsley. Keep what you don't use in a plastic bag in the refrigerator. A loaf of French bread is also timely. Now accept the fact that it's easy. Put the lid on, turn down the heat to very slow, and leave it for about a few hours. Take a book and another glass of wine to the bath with a note on the door, if you are a mother, to say that you are cooking dinner and must not be disturbed. Up clam chowder. Fish needs fennel, remember that. The most ancient, sad and dejected piece of fish in the world can be transformed by fennel into something exciting. The hard little kernels need grinding up. If you haven't got a mortar, use two spoons. Put the fennel in one and the other on top and press hard with your thumb while you wriggle them about. Dill is almost as good, but a better herb for shellfish. The fennel has a more exciting taste, which comes through the smoothness of the potatoes and clam juice. This is not a prescription recipe. Onions are essential, and so is some sort of bacon, even if it is only bacon fat left over from the breakfast frying pan. Celery is nice, but so is green pepper, and so are thin-sliced mushrooms or even leeks. It is capable of almost infinite extension by the use of soup cubes. I usually feed two people with this amount. But if two or four more arrive, there is always another potato and another soup cube and another cup of water. There is nothing quite like a wet afternoon digging clams and coming home to a hot bath and clam chowder. Kids like it, fathers become enormously popular. After a movie or a walk, it is a genuine half-hour recipe, which is much more fun than waiting for the pizza delivery man to arrive with a bill for $3 or $4, and what you save on pizza you can spend on beer or a bottle of wine. Lamb chops, Sophia. Sophia was tall and elegant and beautiful, and she thought that lamb chops were a last resort. lamb chop, Sophia, evolved itself while she lighted the fire and washed my last week's dishes and swept the floor and made my bed and fed the cat and emptied the bath and generally behaved like a liberated woman. It is easy to make with a nice long time to sit and decide that the day wasn't so bad after all. There is also only one pot to clean, and if you put in enough vegetables, it is what the dietitians call a balanced meal. I buy cheap lamb chops, shoulder chops. Any lamb at all can be made nice with a little love and care, and all lamb improves at least 100% if you can possibly arrange to leave it marinating in the refrigerator overnight. Even if you live in one room and haven't got a refrigerator, meat will keep in a marinade for 24 hours. Marinades are a personal thing. Try about half and half oil and vinegar or wine, a bit of fine chopped onion, a little salt, a little pepper, and for lamb, some basil or rosemary or oregano. Lemon juice is nice too. Don't be scared of oregano, use lots. You don't need to make enough marinade to cover the meat, just mix a bit in a plate, dip both sides and turn it occasionally. And if you have a cat, put it somewhere inaccessible. I once had a cat which ate 6 marinating lamb chops in 10 minutes while I took a shower. Poor man pizza. If you live in a basement suite with a fire-breathing landlady who doesn't want you to cook, to come in late, to have visitors after 10 p.m, smoke, drink, bath more than once a week, or turn over in bed because it wears out the sheets, then you have a problem. This recipe is specifically for basement suite dwellers who hide the hot plate and the frying pan under the bed. It can be made by others, by children for supper, and by hungry drunks as a measure of their sobriety, by diesel mechanics wishing to get their fingernails clean, and by the totally incompetent who normally manages to mess up the preparation of something so simple as a can of sardines. It is simple and foolproof. Nothing you can do to the dough can spoil it. It is indigestible, filling, and as interesting as you care to make it. The only care that must be taken is in the frying. The oil must be hot, but not smoking, so that after 5 minutes cooking, the underside is a golden brown. Not too hard, but just crisp. It is so cheap to make that if you foul it up, you just throw it away, feed it to the dog, or keep it till next morning as a special treat for the seagulls on the beach. Sunday pork roast. Aunt Pamela is not really very nice at all. She has a garrulous old windbag who has talked three husbands to death. But she can cook. That's how she catches them. She does this on Sundays in spring when pork is cheap. She spends the afternoon looking smug, nipping in and out of the kitchen in her apron, and suddenly everything is ready all on one dish. She talks and everybody else eats. It's very good. A £5 roast will feed about 12 people, or four teenagers. If you have to, but fresh is better. This is a ridiculously simple, completely foolproof recipe, which is just made for bachelors, spinsters, apartment hermits, and ladies who get picked up on buses and want to take him home. This is one of the few canned meals which appeals to me. All you need to buy is a bottle of dry sherry, a couple or so of flowers, and a candle, and you will have a dinner party of considerable elegance for two. Just get things ready for the crab. Shove it in the fridge and forget it. Let him, her, or whatever your fancy is, pour a glass of sherry and relax. Open a can of consommé. Dilute it with 3/4 of the water recommended and heat it. While it's heating, let the hot tap run on 2 mugs or cups or whatever you want to serve your consommé in. As soon as the soup is hot, pour it into the mugs and quickly dump in 1 ounce or 2 of sherry. And if you want to be elegant, float a thin slice of lemon. That's it. Stage one over. Now do the crab. If there is fresh asparagus in the stores, cook it 15 minutes with a squeeze of lemon over the heads and serve with melted butter. But if there isn't any fresh, use canned asparagus. Put it in the refrigerator for a bit. Open it, drain it, and serve it cold with melted butter poured over it, just like that. Saturday lunch, midnight supper, after a movie, when your mother-in-law arrives, somebody special, or if you just plain want to make a pig of yourself on crab. Zabaioni. Zabaioni is the only dessert anybody needs to know. It is the best food in the world for two, sensual, easy, rich, mildly intoxicating, and so nice that no matter what you have done with the rest of the dinner, it will be forgiven and forgotten. The making is foolproof if you take care of just two things. It is nice to get the egg whites and yolk separated, but it doesn't matter if you're a bit sloppy. It is nice to use fresh eggs that haven't been in the refrigerator, but it doesn't matter that much. It is nice to use marsala, but sherry is okay and so is Madeira. What is important is to keep beating it and not to use boiling water. I just take a saucepan of boiling water off the stove and use that, topping it up occasionally to keep it hot. If you leave the bottom of the bowl unbeaten while you light cigarettes or display your etchings, it will curdle and turn into a custard, which has no appeal at all. It has been around a long time as a food and an aphrodisiac. The Romans liked it, and the Italians, and the French, and the Spaniards. I have had a Greek version of it made with aromatic Greek honey. And in Belgium, a Dutch bottle version of it is very popular. But best of all, it is fresh made and eaten very quietly at body temperature. Cardamom seeds are little soft white fibrous shells which you open with your thumbnail and find inside half a dozen little hard black seeds. They must be crushed either with a mortar and pestle or set on a board and rolled with a beer bottle. Beer is the only drink for a good curry, or if you are feeling wealthy, gin and tonic. Tea is good too, but this curry is a party dish, a sharing dish, and is extremely economical. 6 people can eat off 1 pound of meat. Although there is nothing wrong with more if you feel like it. Apart from cardamom seeds, the big secret in cooking curry is to fry the curry powder. It will go dark brown and smell bright and fiercely bitter and clean out your sinuses and maybe make your eyes water. Very slow cooking is also essential. The man who showed me this recipe insisted that a curry was not a curry until you had slept with it. And in his restaurant, there are indeed cooks curled up by their copper pots, large 2-foot copper pots with a small charcoal fire underneath. I sometimes make a curry late at night and let it simmer till breakfast. The meat may disintegrate, but it doesn't matter. The whole thing becomes a very rich, bittersweet, hot and delicious thick sauce to eat over rice. And it is infinitely extendable by the pretties you eat with it. Rice on a plate, curry on the rice, and goodies on the curry. None of this elegant dishing up. It is a nice, messy together dish, as complicated or as simple as you wish. Greek for $5. Kids in the Middle East eat more tahini than North American kids eat peanut butter. It is a great sauce for chicken, with soda and a little garlic and maybe some lemon or a little grated ginger. And it's good for fish with white wine, but the nicest and simplest way of eating tahini is simply mixed with yogurt into a stiffish dip. Tahini is ground sesame seeds. It is sold in most Greek stores and occasional Jewish delicatessens, in cans or in jars, and usually by the time it gets off the shelf, the oil has separated and come to the top, so mix it with a fork. Take about 4 good tablespoonfuls, chop a clove of garlic very fine, and mix it all together with the juice of a lemon. As you add the juice, it will get thick. Don't worry. Now add plain yogurt a spoonful at a time, mixing it well until you have a smooth, not too sloppy, dip consistency bowlful. Get a loaf of Greek bread, put the tahini in the best looking clay bowl you can find, and pull lumps off the bread. Pick up lots of tahini on the bread and eat it. It will stick to your teeth, which develops the need for retsina. So have a bottle open and very cold, but don't put it in fancy pretty little glasses. Drink it in big mouthfuls. After the first shock, you will love it or hate it. If you don't love it, you better go back to peanut butter. Is different. It is an old Japanese custom smuggled out of this country by a beautiful geisha girl who secretly fell in love with a drunken Irish sailor who, until he met her, ate nothing but chips and tomato ketchup. They settled down in one of the rare temperance districts of Ireland, where alcohol was purchased purely for medicinal purposes. The geisha girl, who could not abide tomato ketchup or French fries, agreed to modify the recipe to include beer if her sailor would give up potatoes with his dinner. The end result, fish with all kinds of vegetables, is delightful, a balanced meal which at one time gets the kids their vitamins and their father a case of beer. The improved diet so inspired the sailor that he became ambitious, emigrated to Canada, and exchanged the recipe for a left-handed screwdriver in order to go into business for himself. Chicken. Forget all the brainwashing about high temperatures, about 450 degrees for an hour, then exactly 400 for 20 minutes. And at the same time, forget all about the expensive cuts of meat, except for very special occasions. Forget also about TV dinners or hurried hamburgers. Just get up, put the chicken in the oven, and forget about it. If your oven will set at lower than 200 degrees, then set it there, somewhere around 175 if you can, and then you can forget it for even longer. You can at the same time forget all about cleaning the oven, because with low temperature cooking, there is no fat splashing around, just a gentle, warm, comfortable happening. Try it first with cheap chicken. Come home, put some rice or potatoes on the fire. Put a few instant onions or chopped onions in with the rice if you like, and a little bit of butter. And 5 minutes before it is cooked, a few frozen peas. Sprinkle a little curry powder on the rice, and there's dinner. The inside of the chicken filled with juice, which also is nice on the rice, and the meat moist and tender. This is a technique which will teach you to cook. You make your own mind up about what you like best, make notes, and almost anything you do will be right. 8 hours, 10 hours, it doesn't really matter. Try it with cheap frozen lamb rubbed with oregano and garlic. Get a cheap roast of pork and treat it to lots of basil and a little pepper and salt. Get a cross rib roast, massage it with garlic and pepper and salt. Get an old duck or a real monster of an old goose, which has to be cheap. Poke an onion or two inside and maybe an onion. Forget it. Don't worry. Write a book. Teach yourself to crochet. But forget the dinner until you are ready. Shepherd's pie. This is a real idiot's recipe for the completely non-cook who wants to make a start somewhere. It is impossible not to make this well, and everybody loves it. The young, the toothless, and the in-betweens. The cat and the girl in the next apartment. Everybody except the dog, because there never seems to be enough left for him. It's a social dish. Two plates and two forks, and it's real cooking. Home cooking. In England, it is a Wednesday dish. Hot roast on Sunday, cold on Monday, curried roast on Tuesday, and what's left over ground up in shepherd's pie on Wednesday. But it is much better made with fresh ground meat. It makes its own gravy. The top is crisp and brown, and if you are in a hurry or it isn't early summer when the fresh ones come, frozen peas are just great. smelt teriyaki. On all the shores of North America, in the summer and at midnight, there are men and boys catching one way or another smelt. Sometimes they dip nets on poles. Sometimes they hang nets in the water at the turn of the tide. Sometimes they wade in with lanterns. They all have different tricks, and they all catch fish, and they all take them home in a bucket to cook. All except those who take them to the fishmonger, who sells them usually cheap. You can fry them dipped in flour, or make them very pompous, dipped in eggs and breadcrumbs. Or you can try this recipe, which is so delicious that you will never try any of the others. Don't clean them, just wipe them. Cook them whole and lay them in the pan, head on and all. Turn them carefully. They will be a burnished coppery colour when they have been fried. And eat them like you play a mouth organ, using your front teeth the way they were designed for, nibbling the flesh off the bone like a mouthful of midnight ear. Very nice. Enough jam. My grandmother lived in the same house for 57 years. It was the jam that kept her there. She was good at it, and also miserly. The cupboards of her kitchen, the tops of her closets, the basement, even suitcases under the bed were full of jam. Strawberry jam, blackberry jam, marrow and ginger jam, rhubarb jam, and even turnip jam. If we were very good, we were allowed to eat it on fresh bread, which she was also very good at. Nobody wants an apartment full of jam today, but it is nice each time a new summer fruit appears fresh in the stores to make it just once, just enough for a couple of breakfasts or tea with some friends or pancakes. This way of making jam is foolproof, and it tastes nice without any of the pectin or other mystiques that usually seem to go into jam making. This needs friends, and a candle too is nice, and a good dinner first is great, and wine is always wine. For each person, a mug full of water, an inch or so of fresh green ginger grated coarse into the saucepan, 2 heaped teaspoons brown sugar, and half a lemon, peel and all. Boil, lid on, 10 to 15 minutes. Pour, strain, just hold back the shreds with something, into mugs and drink as hot as you can. The first sip liberates your taste buds. The second clears your head, and halfway through the cup you should get off. Nice and warm and loose. Turkey tremendous. There is just no way to describe this turkey other than the friendliest cooking you will ever experience. I mean, you need friends for a turkey just to eat it, so you might as well get them there early and spend the day doing it. We sit around and smoke a bit and drink a little and tell lies. Somebody gets up to look at it or baste it or just smell it every 15 minutes or so, and people go for walks and get hungry or play with whatever the kids got for Christmas. It looks really terrible. The first time I tried it, I was most ashamed. Everybody's dinner was ruined, and I was going to write letters to the newspaper I got it from, and all the other people who had recommended it. But we all kept basting and sipping, and finally we fished it out and did what the book says. It was magnificent, like a 20-pound pheasant. Get one between 18 or 22 pounds and a dozen or so friends. Have a good time whenever you decide to do it. Canadienne à la façon de Colonna. It smells so nice, like an old French kitchen with a pot on the stove. I learned to cook with apple juice in Normandy, where the apple is a large and important part of the farm economy. They make cider from it, and a most lethal drink called Calvados. The girls use it for their complexions, and there is nothing like an armful of girls smelling of fresh pressed apples. The pigs eat a lot of them, and in fall the pork takes on a very interesting colour and flavour. There are not many apple-fed pigs in North America, but if you want to get the special flavour, here it is. Sort of sweet, a little spicy from the cinnamon, and very tender. I eat it with heavy rye bread and asparagus when it's in season. Bon appétit. turkey tarragon for two. This is a very simple version of a well-known classic. It was taught to me by a girl in Normandy who also taught me to steal a chicken. The chickens of Normandy were big and tough and old, and the stolen ones were cheap. Turkey legs are a substitute which fills most of these requirements, but if you do happen to have a butcher who keeps his chickens Normandy farmer style, he will probably expect you to steal them. So here's how you do it. The chickens sleep in apple trees on branches about 4 feet off the ground. They must be snuck up upon very quietly from behind, with one hand from above and one from below. You very carefully and slowly bring the two hands together at exactly the same moment, keeping firm hold with the lower one, while the upper one helps the chicken off the branch quietly and quickly under your jacket. You then run. My instructor was a purist. She felt that chicken stealing was a natural predatory act in tune with nature. In order to get properly in tune, she insisted that we spend the evening waiting for the right moment, usually 2 or 3 in the morning, getting our natural rhythms ready. Haricot vert ou gruyère. Contrary to popular opinion, what French girls really do is make salads. A simple roast chicken, a salad, some fresh bread, and a bottle of wine make a memorable meal without most of the panic that accompanies North American dinners. This salad, which in spring and summer, when the beans are fresh and young, is very close to being one of the greatest salads in the world, is simple, classic, and typically French. You can, if you must, use frozen beans. But try it with the fresh ones, the skinniest you can find, the greenest you can find, and the flavour is sophisticated enough for adults, simple enough for children. Make enough, make lots. It is not a salad to be sneaked onto the corner of a plate and nibbled at. Christmas drinks. Hot tea is the simplest of all hot drinks. My grandmother loved it. With half an inch of whiskey in the bottom of a cup, I still do it on Sunday afternoons when it's raining. And the same amount of brandy in a cup of coffee has considerable merit. But it seems that Christmas time is the time for getting sentimental about hot toddies and punches and wassail bowls. So most people get out a tin saucepan and a bottle of the cheapest and boil it with cinnamon or detergent or whatever takes their fancy and drink it quick and spend the next 2 days bragging about their hangover. Next time you make a hot drink, try using your best booze and your best saucepan, and don't boil it. Just make it hot enough in small quantities and find your way into a pleasant, warm, nodding happiness. High-waisted modernists, with me, DJ Gigi, the blue-haired hippie. Check out the archives at wfmu.org/playlists/HW.
I think we have to go all out. I think this situation absolutely requires a really futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. We're just the guys to do it.
Where the action is.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
From Sheena's Jungle Room, a service of Freeform, listener-supported WFMU, you're where the action is. I'm Jeffrey Holasgo. Good afternoon.
Junior, behave yourself. Buy every rock and roll book on a magazine stand. Every dime that he gets, oh, is off to the jukebox man. Well, he worries his teeth until at night she's ready to poop. From rocking and a rolling, spinning and a whoo. Junior, behave yourself. Ow! Junior, behave yourself.
More.